Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, overfunctioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Dr. Alan Stern is not your average retired dentist. After working as a dentist for 42 years, he's now found himself in the coaching space, helping all kinds of dentists find meaning in their life and in their business. He is equal parts hilarious as he is wise. I've really enjoyed our conversation because he shares about the pivotal moments in his life, in his 50s after practicing for so long that had him hit his quote-unquote bottom in his practice where he realized that he needed an extraordinary amount of help to get the joy that was missing from his life and also rebuilding his life financially. He, at one point in his career, hired extremely expensive coaches and advisors and marketing agencies because he found himself comparing himself to so many other people in the industry. He tells a story about how he tried to be like everybody else, eventually hit his rock bottom and rebuilt himself by falling in love with himself and really figuring out what his mission was on this planet and how he can bring it to life in his work. I really love Alan. He's so kind and so nice. And again, I just find him really funny. And he's got so much to offer the industry. And I love what he's doing at this time in his life. And he's definitely somebody that you want to get to know and really hear from his story because it's incredibly inspiring. And when I talk to him, I find myself exhaling a little bit more. Enjoy the conversation. Dr. Alan Stern, welcome to the Real Talk of Dental. It's such an honor and privilege to have you on here. I can't wait for this conversation because you have been in dentistry for decades, and now you're on the other side of practicing as a dentist, and you're supporting other dentists and living their best lives, sharing all of your wisdom from the things you did great and the things you did not do so great, which we're going to dive into talking about today. You're hilarious, you're so fun, and you just have so much to share. So, I mean, let's just dive in. So, I think it's really cool to know you've practiced for 46 years, is that right?
42. 36 years. As a solo practitioner.
Yeah. So tell us about, like, I love how you were telling me that at one point in your 50s, you were still living paycheck to paycheck after being a solo practice owner for so long. So tell us about that. Tell us about how you ended up in that position and what you would have done differently and what you've learned from that experience.
You know, first of all, Brandy, it's so great to be here. We met a few months ago and we've gotten to know each other, and it is such a pleasure. It is my privilege to get to know you. We're just getting started here. So I'm very glad to be here with you and your listeners. We all make mistakes. And boy, did I make them. I trusted, at one point, I was looking for the Holy Grail, how to make my practice bigger, how to be like the big boys. I wanted to be a big boy. So what did I do? I hired the big boys financial advisor. I hired the big boys marketing guy, and I hire the big boys management consultant. The end result was about $250,000 in added debt with no increase in income to pay it down. I made mistakes. I was angry. And I got rid of all of the consultants, all of the coaches, and I figured never again. And then I became a little bit enlightened and I realized I needed help, but I had to find the right help. And the right people popped into my life because my eyes were open and my mouth was opened. I talked about my problems with trusted others. I didn't throw it out for the masses. No. I went to trusted others and I finally found the right resources. And from living paycheck to paycheck, being what I thought was hopelessly in debt and never being able to put the handpiece down. Brandy, I envisioned my life as living in the dumpster behind my office condo, getting out of the dumpster, dusting myself off, spinning some teeth and just diving back in. I don't know if my wife would have joined me in the dumpster, but that's how I thought of it. And you know what? Here I am. Here I am. I did what I had to do. I followed the advice of a great financial advisor. And I followed the advice of a great coach. And most importantly, when I was down hard and really seeing nothing but misery in my life, I went to a therapist. Turned out to have been a world-renowned therapist. And Dr. Arnold Lazarus would be so proud of me today because I used the lessons I learned from him and from my other peak performance coach, Dr. Dana Ackley, who's a good friend to this day. I got the help. I got the right help at the right time, and I listened. I listened to my trusted advisors, and here I am. What would I have done differently, Brandy? I don't know. Because you know what? Every lousy experience that I had, every adversity that I faced, resulted in me becoming better. You know, am I such a masochist that I would torture myself with financial struggle again? I don't think so. But everything that I did wrong, or that I stumbled over, or that really beat me down, resulted in me being what you see today. So I'm grateful.
And what was the shift that had you decide, okay, I do need help? Because it sounds like you felt a little burnt after investing so much money and it not getting anywhere. And then to all of a sudden later in life go, okay, wait, time out. I do need help. Did somebody have an influence on you, or what was your quote unquote bottom, so to speak, where you decided to raise your hand and get help again?
There were several of them. May I talk about two or three of them?
Yes, please.
The first one was I had a disease that I described as PMD. You've heard of TMD. We all treat that, right? Mm-hmm. I had PMD, perpetually miserable dentist. You know the type. And, you know, I could laugh at it now, but really going into the office was just dreadful for me. And seeing patients, I never knew what was going to go wrong. And when things went wrong, I, of course, catastrophized them. And I have a very dear friend, my college fraternity brother of now over 50 years, connected me with Dr. Lazarus. And Dr. Lazarus, really short, sweet, simple, helped me put everything into perspective. And I realized that you don't have to be insane or incompetent to need the help of a therapist. Many of my colleagues who are extremely successful, many people that you and I both know, are using therapists because no one gets there alone. That's Alanism number 20. The second turning point was when my financial advisor, Jim DiNardo, who I got from one of my Panky friends, he said to me, my wife is Fran. Fran and I went to Jim's office for our first visit. He said, Alan, why don't you sell your house? What? Me? A 30-year practitioner? Me, the great Alan Stern, sell my house? Alan, look at your numbers, he said. Your kids don't need the school system anymore. Your retirement does not look very promising right now. Do it. Did it. We moved from a lovely home in the doctor's neighborhood to I wouldn't say modest, but a very middle class townhouse in an okay neighborhood. And I cried. Brandy, I cried for weeks, if not months. I drove past the old house, beating myself up over what could have been, what I messed up. Until patient would come in, I would talk to them about treatment, they say the magic words, I'll think about it. And at that point, I didn't care because cash was flowing again. We had money in our pockets. We were able to invest it. We were able to go on our annual Vegas vacation, the one time a year where we let it loose. We hired personal trainers and nutritionists and got in shape. The tipping point was financial rock bottom for me. And that's why I tell you that adversity can be your friend if your eyes are open and your mind is open. The third one, the death of my mother. My mother was a Holocaust survivor. My mother witnessed and was subject to atrocities that even by today's standards are unthinkable. My mother had pain inflicted on her from the outside and from within because she suffered from PTSD and survivor's guilt. And in a sense, so did I. Because the things that hurt my mother were epigenetically passed down to me. We know that for fact. When she died, I realized that I had the tools inside of me to enable dentists to get out of their own misery and to find joy in practice and to find fulfillment in practice, to find joy in life, because I found it. And my mother's passing spurred me on. It's been 14 years. It's pretty deep inside of me. And more often than not, I do get emotional about it. But those are three things, three pieces of adversity that transformed me into what I am. And we all have the capacity for it. Every single one of us has the capacity to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps, dust ourselves off, and plod on. You just got to want it, and you got to realize that no one gets there alone, not a single person.
Thank you for sharing that. Gosh, it's so rich, your story and what you're contributing. And just hearing about your mom too, what was coming up for me is she was a victim of these horrific things, like you said, that was happening externally to her that she had no control over. And that you had this awareness that you were inflicting pain upon yourself and it was self-induced. Right? So almost like in her honor of changing the narrative and changing the experience for you, because being a survivor, right, and having you end that feeling of abuse that you were inflicting on yourself, you know, that she survived these horrific things that she had no control over. So I think that's really powerful, and you recognizing that and now sharing that with others, that they don't have to be in their own self-made prison.
You know, we have three unalienable rights in this country: life, liberty, and the pursuit of a Tesla. No, not the pursuit of a Tesla, the pursuit of a big house, right? No, the pursuit of happiness. You know, Brandon, we get so caught up in this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a little bit about the comparison trap, and this is a good time to throw that in. I remember my first job as an associate. This was so funny. I went to a dental society meeting with my employer, and I'm hearing all these guys. Now, this was 1982, maybe. And I'm hearing these guys dressed in suits, fancy clothes, bragging about how, you know, they did 10 roundhouses in 3 days in an hour and a half, and they can't figure out which vacation home to go to this weekend. Or they got their spouse a 12-carat diamond ring, and it's not good enough. Or their car ran out of gas, and they have to throw it away. Did they say that? No. But is that how I interpreted it? Yes. Because I saw little old me and these big boys of dentistry who were making all kinds of money. And I said to myself, I'll never be able to equal that. I was comparing myself from the inside out. And I was looking at what I thought these guys had or what they wanted me to believe they had. And comparison is just one of the worst things you can do to yourself. Brandy, if you have $20 million in the bank and you have three beautiful homes in three beautiful towns, you know what it means? It means I'm happy for you because I happen to like you. And if you have attained that, marvelous. But assuming that you have that, I have no idea what you have done or what price you have paid to get those things. And I have no idea whether I'm willing or able to do them. We have to realize that there is so much comparison garbage out on the internet. You know, the Dental Society meeting is one thing. But to throw it out there and to have it pile on, you know, I got this, well, I got this plus this, and I got this plus this plus this, and so on, it means nothing to me because I did me. I practiced me. I coach me. Am I for everybody? No. Do I know everything? No. Do I have everything for a happy life? Yes. Would I like more? Yes, if I can, if I'm willing to pay the price for it. So we have to understand that dentistry, as imperfect a career as it is, and it is imperfect, offers us opportunities that no other profession offers us. Yes, even today. It offers us choices. It offers us a lifestyle that is way above the worst things that could happen to people. Come on. If you don't live in a McMansion, you could live in a townhouse very nicely. If you don't drive a Tesla, you could drive a Honda very nicely. Enjoy your life and practice your values.
Yeah, and like you said, people, we don't know what cost these folks made to get to where they are or what the price they're continuing to pay. And something that, you know, I work with folks on, that I'm sure you do as well, is really getting to the root of what you value or what's important to you and working alongside those values versus like the chase or, you know, some of these big business or whatever people are comparing themselves to. It's the idea that somehow we value the same things, right? And so I value health in a big, big way. That's always my top priority. I always say health is wealth. I value my sleep. I value my relationships. And you can have these things together. Like, you can. It's not one or the other. But it's really designing the life that you really love and that you feel aligned with. And then there's also the misconception, which I think you're saying as well, which is these folks that have a lot of financial success or stuff, that somehow they're quote unquote happier or they're more content than, say, you and I would be. And, you know, there's this idea that somewhere over there, my happiness lies, right? Like, once I get that thing, then I'll be happy. And we all know once you get the thing, the goalpost just moves. So even the big business guys, quote unquote, that they've achieved what you think they've wanted. Oh, no, their goalposts are now moved. They're in a chronic state of discontent as well, you know?
Yep.
And it is that figuring out, you know, when is enough enough, and like really falling in love with the journey. You know, are you having fun? And I think that's what you're asking. You know, are you enjoying the ride? Because if you're not, get off. Because it's really about the ride. Because once you get to that thing.
Of course it is, Brandy.
Oh my God. That's amazing. That was not intentional. That are just listening and not watching. Alan just put up a book called Enjoy the Ride that he has written. Is that right?
Yep. Yes, ma'am. We see it in a very similar way, if not the same way, Brandy. And you hit it right on the head when you said, you've got to know what you want. Define what makes you happy. And then build your practice and build your life around it.
And then accept it.
I couldn't.
Right? Because I think it's so easy to say, like so many clients I have worked with in the past, it's like in those initial conversations, you know, a lot of times it's like they're coming because they desire more. Like they're like, man, something is missing. And then when we really tease a lot of it out, they realize, oh, I'm already living the life of my dreams. Like I have everything I want, quote unquote, I have. And now it's developing a relationship with accepting it. I'm wondering too, like, you know, yes, financially, it sounded like you were in a tough spot, but you had the practice. It sounds like you have a very loving and patient wife. Like you had certain things, but there was this chronic desire for more. And so I want to ask, did you ever get to the root of what was causing you the suffering that you were inflicting on yourself? What was at the core driver of that? Was it the comparison or was it deeper than that?
It was many things. I really wanted to be something that I wasn't. First of all, we lived in a starter home, which was entirely adequate. If I hadn't sold it and bought the big home, we would be in incredible financial shape today. But I wanted to be up there with the big boys because of comparison. But basically, I was told overtly or subliminally that I would never amount to anything. And that held me down for a long time. And my pursuit of hyper-significance outside my practice distracted me from my practice. And it was one of the factors that disconnected me with my core values and my drive and my why. Don't misunderstand me, Brandy. I did good. I did pretty good. But it was a monthly struggle to make that black line get above the red line and have just a little bit left over. It was a struggle. No question about it. It could have been a lot easier. But I was all over the place. I was not as focused as I could have been. So the quest for hypersignificance, the lack of business acumen, and trusting the wrong folks to give me that business acumen really was a perfect storm. But getting knocked down, and I'm sure you see them also. We see clients who are down emotionally, financially, businessly, familyly. But I didn't realize how great a journey I was on. I didn't realize that from 1987, when I opened my practice, to now, with all of the ups and downs, the high peaks, the awfully low valleys, that I was on a journey that got me here. And all I had to do was open my eyes. And I think people need to understand that even if life is slapping them in the face or punching them in the gut, it's part of a process. Learn from it. Look around you. There is a door you can open that will lead to a better path. And that path is inside of you. All you have to do is find it. So yeah, getting knocked down, many things did it. I did some of it to myself. I own the problem. Nobody else did it to me. I did it. And nobody else got me out of it. I got out of it with help.
Yeah, that's so insightful. And this desire to be somebody that you weren't, I think, is really powerful. I've heard that too, you know, in a lot of conversations I've had with folks and my own journey as well, right? So when you have that constant, you know, voice saying that you're not enough and you're not going to ever be somebody,
yep.
Right? We're always looking yep. to be somebody. And there's a documentary with Ram Dass, you know, passed away a few years ago, a spiritual teacher, and it was called Becoming Nobody is the name of the documentary. And I always really loved it because I know even one of my spiritual advisors many years ago, you know, she said to me, she goes, Brandy, you keep trying to be somebody so you can be somebody. And I thought that was so interesting. And then when this documentary came out called Becoming Nobody, I was like, oh man, that thing again of, yeah, becoming nobody, you know, and this idea of being one with everyone. And we all know we're these spiritual beings living a human existence. And who are we trying to be and why? And what is the significance? Again, we just keep circling around the idea of the journey and the ride because life mm-hmm. is over. In a blip. You know, I lost my dad almost 2 years ago and it wasn't sudden. He had been sick for a long time, and I lost my mom when I was 14. So now both my parents are gone and I don't have any children. And so it was this real like existential crisis for me of like, who am I? What am I doing here? You know, it's like any tether that I had been, you know, lost or cut. And I felt like I was floating through space. But even losing my mom at a young age, it was much different because with my dad, he was 75, but it was, I was joking. I was like, you know, I've known him my whole life, you know, he's the longest relationship yeah. I've ever had. And then it hit me in the head with like a 2x4, like, oh shit, we die. This doesn't last forever, you know? And yeah. even though I know that, right. But when you have these losses later in life and it's like, oh, there is an end point to this. Like there is a period at the end of this sentence. And it just felt very much like, okay, what am I doing? And why am I doing it? And am I enjoying it? And can I be at peace? Can I find contentment with where I'm at now and what I'm doing and who I'm doing it with and the why. And I think that is such a struggle all of us have, especially us high achieving, high capacity folks. I say it all the time. And then especially in dentistry, because it is so full of reputation management and comparisonitis and this low level competitiveness, low level, high level competitiveness. and this drive for more and precision and perfection and proving and self-worth. And it's just so bundled up inside all of this. And I love what you're saying, because it does take a small village to help people untangle some of this. And it doesn't always have to be forever, right? It sounds like you had your therapist for a period of time. You know, I've had people, my spiritual advisor, I've been with her for 15 years, so she's been with me for a very long time, and she's helped me. I say she's in the top five of people that's kept me going, for sure. And I've had various coaches in different seasons. I've had different advisors in various seasons. You know, everyone knows I'm in 12-step recovery, so I have a whole community there. And it's so important. And I was sharing with, you know, somebody earlier today too, it's important because I need these people to consistently remind me of who I am and what I'm committed to doing. It's like bringing me back home, you know, bringing me back to that center, that core of who I am, because it is so easy to get swept up in the tide. And especially now more than ever, with access to social media and 18,000 platforms that have everybody else's lifestyle just pummeling us in the face. And it's so hard. It's so hard. And so if you don't have these anchors in your life that keep bringing you back to just reminding, and I always say, it's like, we remember, we forget. And we need people to remind us, but we have to know who we are and what we're trying, you know, what we're committed to, in order to be reminded of what we're committed to. Otherwise, we're just living out somebody else's version of life.
Yeah. You know, this 2025 was one of my best years ever and one of my worst years ever. My deepest relationships, aside from my wife and my kids and my grandson, are my college fraternity brothers, and we've been together since 1973. We had been playing nickel and dime poker one Friday night a month for close to 50 years, regularly. And a couple of us fraternity guys married sorority girls, I being one of them. And we lost one of us in his 40s, lost two in their 40s. I lost one almost 3 years ago. And one of our brothers died suddenly and unexpectedly in September. And it was a horrible slap in the face. No, the others we knew were very sick. This guy just went like that. I lost my friend Dr. Bob Pick back in February. I lost my first boss in a retail store earlier this year. And it does bring the haunting realization, the longer you live, the more of the stuff you're going to see, that we are finite, and it just kind of creeps closer. It's an odd feeling. And I am trying my very best to grasp at the things that are now very important to me, my family, my friends, my community. And work has its place, and I'm very busy. But these other things have their place too. So the other thing I'll tell you, speaking of spirituality, I was listening to a spiritual podcast, and I listened to it about three times in the last couple of days. And in fact, I'll be discussing this in my group, in my mastermind group this evening with my clients. They don't know it yet. But the two most important days of your life, do you know this one? The day you were born and the day you discover why.
Ooh, I love that.
It took me 60 years to figure out why.
And I got to let that settle in for a second.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that one. You know, I love it. Yeah.
I got together with my dear friend, big sister from another mother, Mary Osborne, after the death of a beloved colleague, a suicidal death of a beloved colleague. And Mary invited me to something called Leadership and Legacy. And here I am, little old me, with all these panky overachievers and real leaders in the field. And little old me, dot, dot, dot. What came out of that was the theme that guides me for my entire life now. Let me continue to improve as a force for good wherever I go, no matter how excellent or flawed I may be. And that's sitting right up there over my desk for me to look at every single day. It's the why. That's the why. The how and the what becomes working with other dentists, speaking to dentists, writing so that dentists who read me can learn something and adapt it to their life. They may not agree with everything I say. That's all right. But put it out there and just live in the confusion of different thoughts. And One of the things I'm going to talk about this evening, I'll give you a sneak preview.
Yes, please.
There are three excuses for not attaining what you want. One is insecurity or false modesty. And there I was at Leadership and Legacy, me, little old me with these big giants. And the environment there was, it's a safe space, raise your hand, say what you want, and everybody will accept it. No asking questions on the statement without the sayer's permission. The whole thing about safe spaces. And after about an hour and a half, I mustered up the courage. Little old me, little nobody. Little had to sell his house under duress. Oh my God, the panky flunky me. I raised my hand and I said something. And Leanne Brady, my dear friend, who was to become the director of the Panky Institute, from the other side of the room said, what Alan said made sense. Now, first of all, no woman has ever said that to me. And number two, all of a sudden, I got this thing that, holy smoke, I actually know something. So I owe it to my leadership community to have brought me out of this insecurity. Why me? Who the heck am I? Shell. Yeah, I got something here. I got something that's valuable. So the first is insecurity. The second one is blaming others. You can blame the Democrats. You could blame the Republicans. You could blame President X or President Y. You could blame the insurance companies. You could blame corporate. You could blame DSOs. You could blame private equity. All that does is deflect you from what you really want. Look into yourself. What do you want? What are you willing to do for it? What are your core values? And the beauty of dentistry is going back to that theme of choices. It offers you the opportunity to express your why in so many different modalities. There's research, there's military, there's FQHC, there's DMO, there's HMO, there's FQHC, there's ASA. Panky, COIS, SPEAR, cosmetic dentistry, AACD, the entire alphabet soup is there for you. Pick one. And it doesn't have to be mine. And it doesn't have to be Frank Spear, John COIS. It doesn't have to be them. It's okay if it is. You can do you. Don't blame anybody else. Look in the mirror and see what's there and do it. And the third one is the worst one, perfection. If I can't be perfect, I'm not going to do it. No. Who's perfect? To all you Astros and Red Sox fans out there, I unapologetically tell you that Aaron Judge is the reigning MVP of the American League. And Aaron Judge hits the ball 34% of the time. 66% of the time, Aaron Judge either strikes out or grounds out or flies out. Is he perfect? No. Will he ever bat 1,000 in a major league game, in a major league season? Never. You won't either. We've had client successes. We've had client mediocre outcomes. We've had client, damn, that wasn't the right client. It didn't work. We're not perfect either. We got to get over it. And dentists especially have to get over it. So if you address false humility, if you address anger, blaming others, if you address, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be good. You can find that why and enrich your career and enrich your life while you make other people's lives better. One more.
Yes.
While I'm on this rant, I don't tell my clients, I don't tell them anymore, just be better today than you were yesterday. Because you know what? I've had crummy days at the peak of my career. And I wasn't as good on that day as I was the day before. Here's the question to answer while you're wallowing in your imperfection. Did I make somebody's life better today? If yes, check, success, move on.
I love it. I love it so much. There's just so much wisdom that you have, and you have been through so much, and you've been able to really find the upside of it. And I love that you're now sharing this with other people and with such humor. I just think you're hilarious, and I know you think you are too.
Please, you've got to meet my wife and tell her that.
You make me laugh, which I really appreciate in such a dry way. You do the punchline and then you kind of give me laugh for the fact, which I really appreciate. You have good comedic timing, Alan. You got good comedic timing. But I'm so grateful for this conversation. I feel like I could have you on many more times and we can dive into each of these big topics many more times, which would be amazing. Thank you so much for being on and having this conversation with me. I'm super grateful that you're doing this kind of work. And for what it's worth to you, I do think that you're one of the big boys and you're one of the giants. So you've made it, Alan. You're doing incredible work.
One parting shot, please.
Yes.
Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would get to be what I am today. I craved significance and I was stomped on in all kinds of ways. And I got knocked down in all kinds of ways. This is my dream come true. Thank you for being part of it.
You just listened to The Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices. It's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.